This is Highly Social with Mike Eaton. Bitches, show Mike Eaton your titties.
Anything like this.
Real strong sewing kit and a cookie tin energy going on right now.
I don't know what it is specifically.
Dude, I just worked the full shift. I've just been walking up and down Sixth.
But it does feel like I'm about to open up and look for a Danish butter cookie, and I'm going to open it up and there's going to be those same little wrinkly holders, and then it's just going to have a bunch of bobby pins.
There's a tomato. You remember the tomato holder? Or the apple, whatever it was?
No, it was a tomato.
Yeah, it was a tomato.
And then all the pins were in it.
Yep.
My grandma had one. It used to fascinate me. Then I would take the needles and I'd stick them under my skin and I'd go, ah!
I used to do that.
The top layer? Yeah. You get a bunch of that?
I used to do that. I used to be like, look, I'm cool or something.
Look, there's needles in my hands. Isn't it scary?
I remember the first time a kid showed me that. I'm like, dude, you're pretty fucked up. Is this what emo is? Is this what everyone's talking about? Turns out that's not the case. No, that's not emo.
It's just sick as hell to put needles under your skin a little bit.
Oh, do you remember the kids used to glue their fingers together?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then spread it out like webs?
Yeah.
That was cool. Remember that?
Oh, man. Did you ever super glue your fingers together?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It hurts so bad.
Well, if acetone, fingernail polish, you just dip it in.
That's not what men do. Men go, ah! Men go, ah! They separate.
I had a single mom, dude. Yeah. She knew how to use fingernail polish.
Yeah.
Dude, I was actually kind of pissed. I used to do that in school, and I could never get my fingers just to stick.
Oh.
And I was pissed that I couldn't have the fun to tear them apart.
Sometime, if you're really bored, go get some Gorilla Glue epoxy.
Uh-huh.
And glue your palms together.
Oh.
And then just have a day.
That's not what I thought was going to happen. I thought you were going to be like, yeah, just go get some of that stuff and sniff it for a while or something and get high.
I love the smell of gasoline. Here, let's start the podcast.
Yeah, I do love that. Dude, I love the smell of gasoline. I thought it was crazy forever until everyone was like, yeah, I like that smell too.
Welcome to Highly Social with Mike Eaton. We are brought to you today by the Creek of the Cave, best comedy club in the whole goddamn world. There's shows and mics 7 days a week. You got to check it out at creekandcave.com, Creek and Cave on all socials. We're also brought to you by Golden Cricket. Fight world hunger. Eat a protein bar made out of bugs. We're all going to be mindless drones soon and the world will be over. You got to do that. We're also brought to you by Crescent Canna. CrescentCanna.com. Get the Crescent 9 seltzers. New 50 milligram super strong seltzers. Code Eaton. Discount site wide. And we're brought to you by someone else, but I forget. Oh, the Bong Company. What's the Bong Company called? I can't even remember the name.
On principle, I won't look it up for
you. I'm never going to. This is like four episodes in a row. This Bong Company sponsored me and I lost the bong. Someone lost my bong. I didn't lose it. I left it at the studio, at Drinking Bro Studio, and then the bong went missing, but it was my favorite bong. It's modular, and you can screw the pieces together.
Wow, that sounds expensive.
It's American-blown glass. It's, like, really high quality. It's nice stuff.
And what's the name of the company that makes
it? That's the problem, John! I don't remember! And I can't remember enough to look it up. Parker Kilgo is one of the guys that works there, I don't think that's even his real name. I think that's just his Instagram. I think it's Parker_Kilgo9. But you guys make great stuff, and people should buy it. Look on my Instagram. I follow someone named Parker, and then look at his Instagram bio. And there's
you
probably
know what? It's too bad that I can't hear the company. I would really love to purchase a bong today. I'm in the bong market, actually. I've been perusing through the bong selections, and I'm a man on the prowl.
John, if you were to get, he doesn't even have the company listed.
Mike is so good at sponsorships.
I'm great at sponsorships, and they took a chance on me, and I'm so glad that they. Sponsor me, and it's the greatest company in America.
I'm so glad they sponsor you too. Who are they?
Fuck! What could their name possibly be? Jesus Christ! We have one. Santiago doesn't even have it on his profile. That's the other owner. I found Parker, and it was Parker Kilgo. I'm a genius.
I tell you what, you're not really selling the company right now. If the guys aren't posting about their own shit, dude. You're actually tanking the stock, man. Let me check Robinhood real quick. Oh, wait, I can't because I don't know what the fucking company is.
God damn it.
I can't even look up if they're publicly trading.
Shit! They may have shut the company down. I'm going to be honest with you.
How am I supposed to GameStop this bond company if I can't even, if I don't even know what they're called?
They're called Beep.
beep.
And that we censored it, so you guys will never even know the name, but I definitely knew it and just said it. So
you can go back and edit this, right? And to make it look good. Sure.
Anyways, yeah, today on the podcast, sure, brought to you by Bone Company. Today's guests, the amazing Chandler Roan and John Carden. Welcome to the guests, boys.
Thank you. Thank you for having
welcome to the guest, boys. Welcome to the guest, boys.
Yeah, I just found out about this 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, me too.
Shorter than that.
Well, you know, some people like to do planning and stuff around podcasts.
Remember when you asked me if I had a lineup for the show I'm about to run?
Yeah.
And then you shamed me for not having it, and you didn't even know it was going to be on your podcast 20 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of us work like that.
Yeah. That.
Isn't the universe wonderful?
It's all pretty cool.
All of us work like that.
Well, the problem was I didn't know who I was going to have for guests, because I always like to have two guests that have completely opposite hair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. it's even funnier that someone braided mine too.
Yeah, that's gotta really make. How do you feel about braided hair?
It makes me so angry, man. Yeah. When a man has his hair braided, it's like you're wasting it.
Yeah, you don't know what you have.
Well, right? You're not wasting it. You're just taking it. Like, oh, I have this hair, so at least let me do something with it. You know.
Who was it? A lady that braided it?
No, it was actually a gay guy that did it.
Makes it so much more manly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like I don't give a shit if someone wants to braid my hair, I'll let it happen. Because it's like I don't know if you can relate to this, but when you get your hair like braided, it feels good.
Yeah.
It's like a weird head massage.
It is very nice.
It's like strange. It's like I don't know what it is, but I like it. And if you're gay, straight, whatever.
One of my first core memories
is
in kindergarten. Of a girl putting flowers in my hair.
Uh-huh.
And it felt very nice. And I remember the tingles everywhere.
That's nice.
And then I raped her. No.
Oh, jeez.
No, that part didn't happen, but thought it'd be funnier. And then you guys just took it real seriously. And that's great podcast material. We're doing it. John, why are you sad? Why are you fucking no-selling me on this? Why are you being a dick?
You still mad
that I yelled at you about your lineup?
Yeah.
Fucking God damn it.
I'd be kind of mad at that.
Actually, here's the thing. I'm not angry at all. I just like watching Mike go off and like, I don't know. It's fun to watch. It's like watching like, you know, one of those like teapots go pee.
You're going to feel so bad when I'm dead in the next couple of years.
Yeah, but that's your fault.
No.
Mike.
None of my friends have ever scheduled an intervention.
Mike.
Kind of feels more on you guys than on me, honestly.
Mike.
I've got 10 friends. I got free time. Pretend it's a show.
Mike,
lie to me.
Mike, if we scheduled an intervention, you would just order Besame
through Uber Eats. If we scheduled an intervention, Zach would bartend it.
My intervention is sponsored by, I can't name the bong company.
God damn it. That's how good the bongs are. Erase my memory. Fuck.
Listen, I'm going to call that back for the rest of the fucking episode.
That sounds so bad.
Oh, man. I hope they fucking drop you.
I mean, realistically.
That's when we have to do the intervention.
That's Mike's rock bottom. The bong company that he can't name drops him.
They lost 10 cents.
I knew I had to stop smoking when I couldn't remember the name of my bong sponsor.
As he says while he's exhaling.
Yeah.
This is nicotine. It's safe and natural. Also brought to you by Geek Bar.
do you know who Mike reminds me of? Have you ever seen Shrek 3?
Yeah.
He was in the first two too, idiot.
No, it's the kid that's in the Chuck E. Cheese thing, and he's like, do the roar. Do the roar.
That's who Mike reminds you of?
Every time, dude. I can't unsee it.
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen Shrek 3?
No.
Wow.
I do have another podcast coming out soon called Have You Seen? And it's me watching classic films for the first time.
Oh, I love that.
So I just watched Rocky for the first time.
Are you spelling it S-C-E-N-E?
No, but we should. That's better.
Yeah.
We're waiting to release the first 10 altogether.
You're welcome.
I got to watch Terminator for the first time.
What'd you think?
I haven't yet.
Oh.
I got to watch.
Did you think of Rocky?
Terrible.
You hated Rocky?
It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
You kind of like just thought about like gone back in time and be like, oh, I get why this is a good movie.
No, okay, but here's the thing.
I can't time travel.
Are you a filmophile? Like, are you a person that like...
A cinephile?
A cinephile, whatever the fuck it is. Are you that? Are you a person that
I'm a registered cinephile. I'm a convicted cinephile.
I used to walk into Blockbuster and come all over.
He has to tell every movie theater within a 10-block radius.
Hello, I'm a registered cinephile.
Oh no, Godzilla came out. I wanted to come to that so bad.
The guy at the front's like, we all are, bro. We all are.
You're welcome, brother. Just NAMLA for people with movies.
I wonder if Pee Wee Herman was a cinephile.
No, he just like jerking.
Okay.
Yeah, just, like,
also, what a terrible lot in life he got.
Yeah.
To be an incredible and brilliant person and then just to get shamed for doing what you're supposed to.
Yeah, jacking off in an adult movie theater.
Yeah.
We have a few people that have been canceled that really just did not deserve it. And then, like, who? Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried got canceled?
God, that one made me so sad. So he was the Affleck duck forever. Yeah. Iago from Aladdin. Yeah. Iconic voice. And then after there was a huge tsunami in Japan, he made a series of hilarious tweets. Like, I just went to my Japanese doctor and he recommends I get 1 to 3 million gallons of water a day. I talked to my Japanese real estate agent. They said, if you don't like this neighborhood, a new one will float by any minute. My Japanese girlfriend just dumped me, but as I've heard, there's a million more in the sea.
Jesus. You know,
like, just bangers of text. Absolute Perfect. Fucking bangers. And then he got fired as the Aflac duck for them.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you know about
he didn't rape anyone. He could've.
Do you know about
he kind of shoulda.
Do you know about the Jeopardy thing with Ken Jennings? How Ken Jennings would have had the longest streak of Jeopardy.
Yeah, number
winners,
one Jeopardy guy.
Right, and that he was going to be the host of Jeopardy. And they ended up, he's like the sub-host now. He's not the main host. The main host is Mayim Bialik from Blossom and Big Bang Theory.
I don't think any of those were words.
Okay, but do you know why? Do you know why he's not?
Mozambique Alec?
It was because of a tweet. Ken Jennings didn't get the main seat of Jeopardy. The tweet was, there's nothing sadder than a hot girl in a wheelchair.
Dude, buddy.
I've never in my
Take
life.
From the smartest man in the world to nail it.
Hey, right? I've never in my life wanted to see a hot girl
Shout
in a
out
wheelchair.
Fiona Colley.
I've never in my life wanted to see a hot girl in a wheelchair on Jeopardy more, and I want them to do the camera thing where they go to him, and then they go to her, and they go to him, and then they go to her. I want it so bad.
That's so funny.
Who else has gotten canceled for weird shit?
Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
But everyone's...
Oh, I'm sorry, he gave female stage time? I mean, I'll cancel him for that, but...
Mike...
I think everything else he did was pretty sick.
Oh my gosh.
Ralphie May got canceled.
For
did
what?
He?
For having high cholesterol? His heart canceled
him. Oh god.
Him.
That's fucked up.
Mike.
He named his daughter June. That guy fucking rules.
Mike.
He did so much worse than my dumb tattoos. He did it with a kid. It's like, check it out. It's June May.
Mike, I would hold your heart for a minute and just make sure it's going to be okay.
I can't reach in there. Karima.
You need an ice cream scoop to reach your heart?
What is this, a roast battle? That's
awesome. Dude, I used to sell ice cream scoops for Cutco like a motherfucker. So you're supposed to sell all the knives, but like the ice cream scoops were like a $50 add-on. And I would always, anytime people were buying stuff, I'd be like, you got to get this ice cream scoop. And they'd be like, why? And so it was a nickel cadmium alloy, but the metal's resting like temperature was about 2 degrees higher than room temperature. So you could set an ice cube in it and it would just start melting. And I'd be like, imagine that, scoop it through your ice cream. And they, every time, all the skinny people never sold them.
But the fats.
Me, I was like, ice cream scoop, you need it.
You got the fats, dude. Yeah. Too fat.
Wow.
Ice cream scoops paid my rent a few months.
I mean, that's pretty cool, though. It's pretty cool, but also it's just like, I don't know. It's just funny. It's just funny to like that you're a guy that would sell ice cream scoopers. Oh, it's just funny that you did that. Yeah. It's such a weird like job to have to just go around and be like, hey, do you need something? It's like the middle of December. Like, hey, I have the best thing for you for your ice cream.
Dude, there have been multiple times where I go to Besame and it's fucking freezing cold outside. And I show up at the ice cream truck and I'm like, hey, I'm just going to pick up a couple pints. And they're like, you're the only person we've seen in the last 3 hours. There's no one outside. It is so cold. No one's eating ice cream. I'm like, you guys are dumb.
That is kind of crazy because I don't care how cold it is outside. If I'm having a good day in my home being cozy, I'll eat some ice cream.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit that it's hot outside.
Is
it's
there
a
any
delicious
better way
treat.
To end a day?
Nah. I sent you something, and it's relevant because I want to know if you're
is
going.
Is it the name of the bong company?
No, I want to know.
Fuck.
I want to know if you're going this year.
Oh, did you text it?
Yep.
Fat Con. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Jonathan. Oh, yeah.
So there's an entire festival for fats.
Yeah, no, it's not a festival. It's a convention.
Dude, how many?
I was invited.
How many ice cream
represent-
scoops? Do you think you could sell at FatCon?
I was a diversity hire for FatCon. They're like, he's one of the skinny ones.
I did, dude. I was at Sunset earlier, and I was with Ryer and Marcus, and you know Marcus has this big beard, and Ryer goes, "You kind of look like a skinny Santa Claus." And he was like, really? Even with my belly tucked out? And she goes, yeah, but, you know, it's just like, Santa was obese.
I got hit up by a clothing company that was like, hey, we're interested in having you, like, be, like, one of our brand ambassadors. You know, we'll send you a bunch of free shirts. You wear them, and we'll give you a code, blah, blah, blah. And the company was called 12 Grand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, I wonder what the is it nice? Is it luxury stuff? And I clicked on their website and it is called 12 grand because they go up to a size 12 extra large.
Holy shit.
So they were looking at me as a 3X and being like, we get a skinny hot one and sell it to these giant fatties and tell them to look like him.
Wow.
You're like a model for Lane Bryant.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a mall one time in Seattle, mm-hmm. and I was looking, like, I was with my kid. They were in the carrier, and I was looking at this Victoria's Secret ad mm-hmm. on the outside, because this girl was, like, doing the Michael Jackson lean, but it was raining on her, and I thought that looked slippery. And I was just wondering, the general
how'd
physics.
How'd she stay up? Yeah.
Yeah, and this fucking they-them came up to me, and I'm like, you shouldn't ogle at pictures in front of your kids. It sets a bad example. And goes to walk off. And I'm like, no, not so fast. Okay, you're not walking off.
Not today, Fajay.
Hell no. You're not doing your little they shuffle, okay? I was like, actually, if you want to be honest, I don't even really like skinny women. I'm like, I'm not a fan. I'm like, you want to see me ogle something? Let's go to Torrid, okay? Let's stand outside of Lane Bryant, okay? I'll ogle the shit out of those big bitches.
Did you know the Michael Jackson lean? He had slots in his shoes
mm-hmm.
that hooked on to attachments in the stage so that he could lean over further?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the LL Cool J story about how LL Cool J
LL Cool J?
No, LL Cool J was working with him. Oh. And Michael Jackson was like, he asked him, he's going, how do you do the lean thing? And Michael Jackson was like, we met with a shaman for like 8 hours. And we sat down and we did a ceremonial drum circle. And afterwards he showed us the ways of the lean. And LL Cool J's like, for real? And he goes, no, silly. I trained for years.
Dude, I watched one of those like VH1 music video countdowns or like the 25 hottest videos. And I was like, I'll be able to jerk
pop
off to
up
this
video.
For sure.
You jerk off to music videos?
Yeah, for sure. But before porn? Do you remember BET Uncut?
Oh, yeah.
Ludacris Pussy Poppin' music video was life-changing.
No, the Casey and JoJo Tupac one. What was the name of the song? Casey and JoJo and Tupac. Help me out.
I don't know. I'm too young for that. Like, I don't even, like, I don't
you
think
grew up
I've
with
listened.
Porn.
Yeah, I grew up with porn, so
how
I never had
how old were you when
to,
you saw porn for the first time?
I got the song in my head.
I think.
Sing it.
You know what's actually crazy about, like, figuring out porn? I remember
it?
I had, like, a mini laptop,
it?
And then I just looked up porn one day.
Nice.
And then I found porn for the first time. And I was like, because I would do that. But I at the time, I was like young enough to like
porn.
Have. Yeah, I could just look up porn. And like the first porn, I think it was like X videos. Is
yeah.
The
yeah.
First
they've
thing
been around
that
a
I got.
While.
Yeah.
You're not old enough to know about 89.com.
I don't know what that's a website.
It was a predecessor. It was before tube sites. They had link sites.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the same way, like if you go to XNXX and you go to tags and you see everything they have the videos tags as and you look at those, there used to be sites like Red Gals and 89.com and all these other ones where they would just have a list of every different time of fetish in alphabetical order. And you could just click that and then it would have links to pictures and videos posted by day.
Wow.
They were aggregate sites.
Yeah, I heard about like the struggle of those.
Oh, 89's gone?
Yep.
Oh. No! Can you Google just 89 porn site?
That's wild. I know the guy that Hall created YouPorn.
The porn guy, Hall of Fame.
You know the guy that created YouPorn?
Yeah.
Whoa, tell him thank you. Just personally.
That's funny because I knew the girl that created
Boy look
Food.
At that fucking logo.
Wow.
Boy, howdy, does that bring me back?
What was the one that showed the naked actors and actresses?
Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin.
Oh, don't test me on this shit.
That was like a big deal, wasn't it?
It was a big deal.
Yeah,
because
I remember like those earlier like 2000.
It's still a thing.
Oh, you guys want to see something really crazy? Justin, go to celebrity.
Whoa.
Mr. Skin.
Yeah. This is why I agreed to the podcast.
But a throwback. But a throwback. The How Do You Want It music video. Have you ever seen it?
How do you want it?
How do you feel? Growing up as a in the fast lane. Anyway, do you know the story behind that?
No.
So Larry Flint from Hustler actually paid to have that video made and supplied all the girls for the video.
I can't believe they named that town in Michigan after him.
It was
his dirty water.
It was the first X-rated movie video. Or first X-rated music video.
Movie video.
Music. I'm high, dude. It's the first X-rated music video in history. Was How Do You Want It?
That's pretty good. Justin, if you will go to celebritymoviearchive.org.
Throw me that weed.
It's not weed. It's Delta Ed.
Shut up.
Legal. All right, so it should be a blue background. Oh, maybe it's .com. Maybe it's .com. Maybe it's .com. But so this one was like the best because it has every movie ever categorized.
Oh, with sex scenes? Is that what it is?
All of the sex scenes, any kind of nudity whatsoever, they have it categorized and then they have it alphabetized and they have clips of videos and pictures. So if you ever get like you're thinking of like you're talking with your buddies and you're like, who's that really hot chick? Has she ever been naked in anything? And then Celebrity Movie Archive will have it.
Yeah. I have done that.
Top one.
I'm not going to sit here and lie. I'm an honest man. I have done that where I'm like,
I
think about
it
like the celebrity and I'm like, oh, I want, just go to Pornhub.
Yeah. No.
Just cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Guys, name a celebrity. Name a celebrity. Halle Berry, Swordfish. So my first name, H. Look at all these names. And here's the best part. Nude versus sexy. Nude is you get to see whole.
No. I want to see Hanochi.
Okay, click Hanochi. Let's check her out. No, she has two nudes. All right, Hanochi, the second one.
My glasses is going to
reflect. I'm a big fan of
Hanochi. Going on into the camera.
Yeah, Hanochi and a special lady in 2017. She got fucked, dog.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's Honey O.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Well, talking about Asian ladies. dude, I was literally walking out of Sunset.
Halle Berry.
And then Monsters this Asian Ball lady grabbed me and asked me if I played video games.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She wanted to have sex with you?
I don't know.
I think she did.
But I thought it
there
was
she
pretty
is,
wild
Halle Berry.
To ask that question.
17.
Yes. How many nudes
wow.
is it?
Yeah.
Monsters Ball. One of the best sex scenes in the history of fucking film. In Monsters Ball. Just two fucking
well, yeah, because Billy Bob Thornton was a man and actually had sex with her.
Well, Billy Bob Thornton is the fucking dude.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he was fucking Amber Heard while Johnny Depp was with her.
All right, we're going to take about a 10-minute pause and we're all going to jerk. And then we'll resume the pod.
It and resumes we're and we're all jerking each other.
And we're back. Oh,
welcome back to Highly
welcome
Social.
Welcome to Horny Social.
Sponsored by Unnamed Bog Company.
God damn it. No, but there's got to be more. Can you keep scrolling?
Yeah.
All right, great.
Tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want.
We're still just in Monsters Ball.
Wow. What he meant to say was, how do you want it?
Scroll down.
Wow, she's got a lot.
Yeah, well, these are all that one
Monsters
sexy.
Ball, is yeah. It?
Oh, really?
Dude, she had a booty on her.
So here's her in Swordfish.
Swordfish, dude.
Suntanning naked, what
I have paused it and jacked off to that scene more times than I ever care to admit.
buddy, I get it.
That one and Tango and Cash had one in the first few minutes where there's a chick that pops up in the car while she's getting banged and she has huge titties. And it stayed with me for years.
Who's the redhead in Thomas Crown Affair?
Oh.
It's Pierce Brosnan stealing art.
Is that Julianne Moore?
I think it is. I think it is. But man, I have jerked to those.
Jessica Chastain is a set that I haven't seen that I would like to see.
Oh, well, go back to Celebrity Movie Archive and go to the J letters. And then we can get Jessica Chastain. It's the fucking coolest thing. Everyone you've ever wanted, they're on here. This is so, I mean,
you're so excited.
It's never failed me.
Do you know who she's married to?
Sydney Sweeney.
Do you know who she's married to? Jessica Chastain?
No one cares.
Have you ever seen Super Troopers?
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember the snozzberries taste like snozzberries, dude?
Yeah.
She's married to him.
Hell yeah. I wonder if her snozzberries taste good.
Dude, who's like the celebrity if you could like... Who's the celebrity that you want?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
You know what I mean? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Really?
Still
now?
With her dyke haircut and saggy face?
I don't give a fuck. 72 years old, I would still bang the shit out of Jamie Lee Curtis.
15 years ago.
I get it. He's probably had that crush for a long time, so I get it.
I mean, dude.
Jamie Lee Curtis, look at those tits. Back in the day, they were nice, bro.
Oh, she did sex scenes?
Yeah.
I just know her from Halloween.
No, Jamie Lee Curtis got railed.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Look at those milkies. I don't think this is going to get put on YouTube.
We'll figure it out.
They have done like real sex scene. Like they've had like real sex scenes before where they're actually having sex, right?
Yes.
They've done
That's what Monsters Ball was.
Really?
Yeah, that was why it was so crazy. Is he was actually fucking her brains out.
How neat.
Wait, who are we? Jessica Chastain. That's the important one. Jamie Lee Curtis is fine. She's mid. John has bad taste. I don't know why.
I just want to watch Sydney Sweeney again.
Oh, man.
I remember I was Sydney watching, what's that?
Euphoria.
Euphoria. I was watching
Corny
Euphoria.
High schoolers, dude. Best show ever.
If I'm being honest, like right now, like Zoe Saldana.
Ew.
Zoe Saldana. You're out of your mind.
I don't know who that is.
She got a big old cute forehead.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear him? He goes, Jesus Christ.
No, Zoe Saldana's gross. What's the other one that everyone likes? Zendaya?
What's wrong with her?
Ugly boy, dude. I wouldn't fuck her with your dick.
Really?
Yeah, not like a chance.
Well,
no,
she's,
gross face.
She's
icky hair. What's
Spider-Man,
going on
so...
Huh. Yeah, and Spider-Man's gay as hell. It's definitely like a Pfizer cover-up.
You don't like Spider-Man?
No. Tom
really?
Holland?
Oh, do you like it, like previous Spider-Man?
I
did,
oh, no, I like the show Spider-Man. I don't like Tom Holland that she's
okay,
fucking.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's like who's the guy between Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland?
Andrew Garfield.
I didn't like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man
either.
At all.
Tobey Maguire
was best Spider-Man.
Hear me out. No, hold on.
Sam Raimi is
but
the
I
best
grew
Spider-Man.
Up on
no, hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. Okay?
Miles Morales.
No, I think I think Tobey Maguire was a better Peter Parker.
Okay?
I think Andrew Garfield was a better Spider-Man. Now, Spider-Man, if you watch the cartoons and read the comics, he was a wisecracking fucking, you know, he was kind of a smartass.
Yeah.
That's who he was. Mm-hmm. But that's not who really Tobey Maguire was as Spider-Man. He was,
I'm sorry.
He was still kind of
just
a nerd.
Dance cool as hell.
He was still kind of a nerd. Andrew Garfield was too cool to be Peter Parker, but he was cool enough to be a great Spider-Man.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. But I think that's why people like Tom Holland so much is because he does both.
He does both. He's the perfect balance of both.
Yeah.
He's a good Peter Parker and a good Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
We went from this.
Which works.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and all that's cool. Let's see Jessica Chastain's titties.
Do you know what always kind of pissed me off?
That one says nude. Will you click it? Will you click it? Can you click the nude one? I don't see titties from here, and I would like to see Jessica Chastain's titties.
They finally got something right in the new Spider-Mans, though.
Jessica Chastain's titties. Oh, it's just see-through. That's fucking gay. That's not nude.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
I've never
sexy.
Seen them.
I got a virus.
No, you can see. You could control plus.
He knows that, but he doesn't know the people that pay him to do a podcast.
Well, what I'm using.
Control plus. Backspace. Space bar. Alt, delete 11124 F1 F2 F1 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 JK.
This is how little John knows about computers is he's just spamming buttons to talk
about
shortcuts.
I'm on a computer every day and I forgot about doing that.
Control plus.
Yeah, I play computer video games all the time and I forgot.
Oh, dude, control plus riffs.
That's what I'm gonna call you, control plus sized.
It's true because it's like no matter what, it's like Mike has always like stayed the same size. Like
have
even
you
in
seen,
like
have you seen sexy
ago.
Mike?
No, there's a sexy.
Oh, dude, young like, Mike posing with John McCain was a fucking
was hot.
Was a
you
handsome
had a picture
man.
Of John McCain.
I worked for him.
You worked for John McCain.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
I know, yeah.
Mike. You have such like an interesting life, dude. All these things that you tell me about, it's like, it's that you have. You're so interesting. How did you work with John McCain?
My dad was head of his finance committee for
Holy
Texas.
Holy shit!
For his 2008 campaign. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, I was with John McCain at a finance event when Mike Huckabee decided that, like, he's, what's it called when they lose?
Resign?
Concede.
So, concede. Yeah, concede. When Mike Huckabee conceded the nomination to John McCain, I was outside looking at the Straight Talk Express, John McCain's bus, and then came inside to everybody throwing confetti and partying everywhere, and John and Jill just, like, living life.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Was that pretty during cool. the presidential election? Is that when?
Yeah, when Obama beat him. It was the 2008
Yeah, when they were running against
campaign,
him. Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay,
when Obama beat him. If he hadn't picked Palin, he probably would have won.
No shit, dude. I had a... Yeah. Whatever. It doesn't matter because I don't even support any of that anymore. But like, at the time, I had a McCain sticker on the back of my truck.
Wow.
And everybody started getting McCain-Palin stickers, and I just kept the McCain sticker. I was like, mm.
So you were like kind of like a Republican? It was because of your dad?
Yeah. My dad was super Republican and was like part of like Young Republicans in college. And then I joined Young
Americans. Is
America's
he still?
No, he woke up. But yeah. Actually, he lost all of his money and became a Democrat. I don't know if it's related. But
that checks out.
But a tale as old as time.
Fuck the IRS.
Oh, I think both sides, regardless, say fuck the IRS.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's a bipartisan issue. No, so my dad like super got me into Young America's Foundation, which was like a young Republicans thing. And I would go like Mike Reagan, Ronald Reagan's son, has a ranch in Santa Barbara. And I went out there for a big convention. Wow. And then there was a thing called Boys State that what are the VFW people like those people? American Legion. That's what
okay.
American Legion had a thing called Boys State where it's a mock government thing and they do one in every state and then they do a big one.
Uh-huh.
For like the boys' country or whatever. So I got like elected by my student body to go there. Like they gave me a big lecture. They're like, "You are our worst behaved student we've ever sent to this. You have to behave. Like we know you're going to be a problem, but please just don't be crazy." I almost got kicked out the first day there. But it was down here in Austin when I was like young. And then I ran for governor, which was like the highest position. And I got to the very last vote. And then I lost to this fat guy with a banjo. And, there was like a whole big thing. All of the veterans that were a part of it that were watching this were like so deeply upset that I lost because I was like doing good speaking and policy and playing by the rules. Another guy was like being likable and playing a banjo that they gave me a matching scholarship to his because they felt so bad that I lost. So I was like set up to go into politics. And then the school I went to in Virginia was like a big political school. And I went because the former governor / senator from Virginia, George Allen, his son Forrest was the same age as me. So we were going to go to college together so I could get into politics. And then I like worked for state senator or state congressman Robert Hurt in whatever district that was. And so I was like big into politics. And then I got out there wearing Ed Hardy shirts and rhinestone jeans and got beat up and made fun of and was like, "Oh, I don't like Republicans."
Wow.
And now you know my political background.
Dude, that's crazy. That's like super interesting. They like bred you to be a politician. You don't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, like especially like because I used to do like the those debate. Mm-hmm. I did debate in high school. And then I kind of was getting into that. I was super into politics at that time, too. And then but like eventually I just kind of like. Most people, I kind of just woke up and then I kind of just stopped giving a damn about all of
Mike,
it.
Mike, you would be without a doubt the worst politician in the history of politics.
I would love to see Mike as a politician. Mike is like the perfect politician. No,
Are you kidding me?
Mike would be so easily bought. Lobbyists.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. So there used to be a big lobbying firm in D.C. called Bracewell and Patterson, and then Rudy Giuliani joined in and then took over the firm. So it was called Bracewell and Giuliani. When I was senior in high school, I did the National Youth Leadership Forum on Law and went and did moot court and mock trial in D.C. there. And then I went and interviewed at Bracewell and Giuliani to do an internship so that when I got into college, my second year of college, I could go out there and start interning to become a lobbyist. So my goal was go to school at Hampton Sydney, get the in, go to Washington and Lee, get my law degree while I'm working at Bracewell and Giuliani, become a lobbyist for 5 to 7 years, work my way up in Capitol Hill, and then become a politician.
Wow.
That was the goal. That was like my life plan at 18.
Now, you would have been a great lobbyist.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Oh, are you kidding me?
You would have been an incredible lobbyist.
Mike would have been
lobbyist.
The perfect politician, dude.
I saw Thank You for Smoking the first time, and that guy gets gets attacked by the fucking anti-lobbyist. And they fill him up with nicotine patches, and then he almost dies. And then in the hospital, he wakes up from a coma, and the doctor is saying, like, hey, they tried to overdose you on nicotine. In fact, the fact that you smoke cigarettes is the only thing that saved your life. And his first words are, can I quote you on that? I was like, my fucking dude! Yes!
That was Aaron Eckhart, right?
Yeah!
Yeah, that was a great movie.
It's a great fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. You little cinephile.
Yeah. That's...
You little dirty cinephile. All right, I gotta go, because I got a show to run.
All right, well, I love you, John. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you.
Going to the
me.
John, J-O-N, on all social media platforms, because he only uses Instagram.
And Midnight Special.
Thursday, Wednesday.
Oh, that's what you're doing?
Wednesday, Thursday. First, third, and fifth Thursday. It'll probably be easier to just go to Going to the John on Instagram or just come to a show every day at Creek in the Cave. J-O-N. Anyways.
Love you, John.
This podcast is also brought to you by Hims. If you're worried about your head looking like that.
I feel bad when I made that joke.
Why?
Well, like earlier whenever I was like, because you kind of, like, I don't know, I just felt bad about that. I was like, I don't mean it like that.
You can't control it.
Yeah.
He was born to be a bald man. He was born to be a gay man. That's just John's plot.
My uncle's bald. And every time when I was a kid, I used to always just run up to him and slap his head. I'm like, oh, why is it so oily?
Dude, when I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I remember being over at my grandma's house, and my older cousin, who was like 16 or 17, came over. And my cousin Paul, he was like the nicest guy. It's my aunt's son. And he always tried to be like nurturing and like cool, older, because I was an only child and all that. And he came over one night and he had a really bad acne breakout.
Ugh.
But I did not know what acne was.
Uh-huh.
So my cousin comes up to me and goes, hey, buddy, how are you? And I go, did you fall in an anthill? What happened to your face? And just like every now and then, I'll just remember saying that and be like, oh,
I feel bad. I used to have acne really bad. And then they put me on like one of the pill or whatever that
Accutane?
They give you. Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was like a pill form. And then they like gave you a schedule and you had to like take it for this amount of time. Like I used to have it really bad.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder what my face looks like if I shaved. I'm kind of curious because I kind of forgot. I just started growing a beard. I used to have a beard of acne. Like I had it bad.
Oh,
and then I took the pill and then it went away, but I got bullied for that bad.
Oh, of course.
Of course I got bullied for that. Oh. Yeah. But at least, hey, I got bullied enough to where I would go home crying. My mom finally gave me the fucking pill. Maybe it was good.
I got acne real bad too. And before I went to a dermatologist or anything to get it fixed, my dad, he would use like cover up makeup that had salicylic acid in it.
Oh.
So he just gave me this little like Neutrogena for men cover up stick. I was like, here, you can use this. But that's for like adults when you have like a little pimple where your skin's just kind of
like
red.
Something like up here. Like
just like a little one.
Yeah.
It like you can kind of blend it in and it looks fine. Yeah. It is not for raging hormone 16-year-old whiteheads that are just sticking out like mountains. Yeah. So I would just put a shit ton on it.
Yeah.
And then I'd have these big just like brown glops on my cheeks. And then I also sweat.
You just look
like
every other girl in school.
So now I'm just sweating chocolate milk in class. Just the saddest boy to ever live.
Sweating chocolate milk.
I also found out that I had hyperhidrosis on my feet.
What's that?
Super sweating.
Oh, okay.
So the bottom of my feet sweat like a Gatorade commercial. Like, they're just, like, if I sat still in a classroom for an hour, when I stood up, it would feel like I was stepping in a puddle.
Whoa.
Just from the amount of sweat that would just come out of my feet at any given
time.
It sucks so bad. It was just goopy feet. Ugh. And I had a bad habit of not wearing socks. Part of my tism is I don't like stuff on my feet.
Yeah.
I would prefer to wear flip-flops every day of the year because it's the least amount of things touching my feet.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
And so I would not wear socks a bunch, and I would just sweat these shoes out. And then I had like a whole group of people that all just made fun of me and bullied me relentlessly for how bad I smelled. So I just had stinky ass feet. And at the same time, I went to the dermatologist and they fixed my stinky feet and my acne. I had this rollerball that killed all of the sweat glands on my feet. Mm-hmm. So my feet can't sweat anymore. And then I took Accutane and I got like laser surgery on my face.
Really?
And
yeah, because I was gonna say you
and then they just made fun of me for being fat. So it was cool.
Well, I was gonna say because like you're fit, you look like you have like great skin. You know, like it, you have great skin. And then also it's just kind of crazy. It's also, I was thinking about it. It's also like, it is kind of like funny to have like sweaty feet. Like that's like really bad. Like you don't have your shoes on. And it, like someone's like, hey, where did Mike go? And it's like, oh, I guess I'll follow this trail.
Yeah. The snail trail, dude. There's just like a yellow squiggly line through the sky. Just like, oh. Looks like Pepe Le Pew is flirting.
Do you know if we're getting closer? It's like, I can smell him. I think we're getting closer.
The force is wrong with this one, dude.
I love how this whole time through politics and feet sweat, we still have boobies.
Her areola is too big.
What?
So that's one thing that they need to figure out a surgery on.
You ever find it strange whenever like you see a girl's boobies for the first time, you're like, those are browner than I'd imagine.
Yeah, I always I think they'll match the lips. Yeah. And then sometimes if they're cold, they get smaller and darker.
Yeah.
And if they're hot, they get whiter and paler. Uh-huh. But the other thing is like they need to do a surgery to fix the girls. They got those big old fucking chocolate chip monsters. No, fix it. Gross. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to see that. Stop being in the world.
You don't like show that pretty often to be like, you need surgery on that.
I would say 80% of the tits that I see need areola reduction.
Really? Any tits I get, I'm like,
dude,
this is
great. Dude, 70% of the pussies need like a labiaplasty. Cut that fucking roast beef off, ladies. Listen, here's the deal. If you're a woman and your pure value that you're putting out to the world is just sexual, then fix the shit. If you're going to be smart or tell good stories or interesting to talk to or have a cool career or passions or hobbies or interests or any of that, and you're going to do with personality, cool. Have floppy lips. Have your weird wonky tits. Uh-huh. But like you got to, you know, make up for that. Like I'm very fat and I have a mid dick, so I'm fascinating to talk to. You know? Like, I hold a conversation with anyone. I did the work, ladies, you know. Follow suit. Fat horse, but you're fat. Tell a story about it.
I love how through all of this, and you're just like cut off the lip, and like you need surgery on your tits, and then in the you're like giving all these things to like say that women should do, and then in the middle of it, you're just like, by the way, I meant dick anyway, just so they have something to like.
Yeah,
like
they're mad at you. And I have meant dick, and I get all of those things, and I'm kind of losing my hair a little bit on the back, but not much, but a little bit, and like so like. There's plenty wrong with me, but also, like, you tell me about your day, you're going to think I really give a shit. And, like, that's important.
Mike is a good guy to talk to. Yeah. Mike is a good guy to talk to.
An active listener.
He's an active listener. Did you? He's so good of an actor. He used to be a politician. Yeah.
Come on.
He's great at it.
So that's what I'm saying. If you're not going to do any of that work, then fix the shit, tighten it up, scrape them down.
Yeah.
Get them good.
Mm-hmm. If that's what you want, you know, you can have that, I guess. But
if elected president,
Mike's getting back into politics. Where's John? Get him back in here.
2032.
I need John to hear this so bad.
I'm running with Barron Trump as my running mate.
That's the little guy, right?
Yeah. No, but he's tall now. He's 6'11".
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, Google Barron Trump. He's tall as fuck.
Dude, we're going from titties to Barron Trump.
Brother, and you've never seen someone that looks more like...
Roller coaster.
If you look at Barron Trump...
So what? Strange. Have also, you seen the time lapse of him?
Yeah.
Did you ever see those memes of him in the White House?
Jesus.
Of just like his Snapchat map thing?
Wait, all right. So get a recent picture of Barron Trump. Tell me it doesn't look like Heath Cortez ate a Mario mushroom.
Yeah. Dude, he's so insanely tall. Well, Trump, believe it or not, Trump was like really tall too for him.
He's like 6'1".
He's 6'1". Yeah. I mean, that I'm like 5'8", 5'7".
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
So
I'm
he's
not
very,
very
tall for you. Yeah.
He's very tall for me.
Yeah.
He's a guy I have to look up at.
Wow. He looks like a Tim Burton character.
Gosh.
Look at him saluting Hitler in that photo. Click on it.
Dude, not only did I like see memes of him in the White House trying to have a good time and live a normal childhood, but also I just saw a lot of stuff online about him too, just being like, can this guy just have like a normal
dude,
life?
I want to find his burner Instagram account so bad.
Dude, he's got
You know
one
he's
for,
got the
he
boys
has
on
one.
Close Friends.
Yeah, he does for sure. He's definitely, I have a, because all of his kids, all of Trump's kids are like, it's like they're all, they've all set themselves up to be like a politician like Trump.
Yeah.
And then I just feel like Barron is the only one where he's just like, dude, I kind of just want to
like EuroLeague basketball.
Yeah, he's just like EuroLeague basketball, or like he's just a dude that just like actually just wants to like live his life. But like his dad is like the most famous person on the planet.
Dude, you know what he should do is he should get into acting.
Dude, yeah, you could get in
tall,
into
slender, handsome boy like that, become an actor. They huge draw for the film with his name.
Dude, he could be in the new White Men Don't Jump.
Oh, my God.
Or White Men Can't Jump, just like a third one.
White Men Don't Need to Jump.
White Men Don't Need to Jump.
We pay the help to jump for us.
He's the white human son. Or no, I think that's the soccer. Who's the
Air Bud?
No, the Asian guy that played for the Rockets.
Yao Ming.
Yao Ming. Yeah. I said Heung-min Son. That's a soccer player.
Oh, gross.
South Korean guy. Never mind.
Ho Chi Minh. Yeah. We saw her tits earlier.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Oh, that's so funny.
Dude, he's so... Yeah, I don't know. I kind of just feel bad for Barron. Ultimately.
No.
I feel bad for him a little bit.
Dude, Don Jr.
kind of relate.
Retweeted me and
did
shared
really?
My tweet on his Instagram story.
Really?
It was like one of the coolest.
Do you have it?
What was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I have a picture.
You do?
It was the Omicron vaccine just landed in LA and it already announced it's moving to Austin. It was like right as that variant had landed, and it got like 3,500 retweets and like 60,000 likes.
Wow.
And then it was going viral all over Instagram, and then Don Jr. shared it on both, and I was like, am I a Republican now?
Have I come back to my senses?
Yeah. Should I? Fuck Lauren Boebert.
That's the first thing that comes to your mind. Yeah, should I fuck this woman?
I should move to Colorado and get a hand job and a play. Dude, say what you want, but like none of the Democrat chicks are having scandals. They're doing gay shit. They're fucking in the Congress office. But Lauren Boebert's jerking off her boyfriend and vaping at a fucking play.
So you
they fuck, dude.
Yeah.
So, Republican girls do anal.
I'm of course they do.
Yeah. Like, take this, queers.
Oh, jeez.
We'll take everything from you.
So what's like, okay, so you were in politics. So like you were in it. What's like the one of the craziest like rumors you've heard of any politician that like people know?
I wasn't in it like that. I wasn't in any of the places you'd hear cool rumors. I was still like very just like making calls, asking for donations, just Aaron Boy shit.
Just
I was
doing
still,
that
I was still
stuff.
Earning my dues.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't get any like cool privilege information. But I will say, like, seeing how much like access my dad had. When my dad got rich, so from like 8 to 16, my dad's wealth kept increasing exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he made partner at a firm in Dallas, and then he opened his own firm in Southlake, which is a very wealthy area. And then
that's in Dallas, right?
It's a Fort Worth area. It's like North Fort Worth. But it was a city that was very interesting because it used to be all chicken farms and like chicken coops. Ross Perot Jr. lived down the street in Westlake with his big Circle T ranch, but it was like mostly open air and like big farms and stuff. And then all of the rich people from downtown Fort Worth and some in downtown Dallas, and then even a few in Denton and Arlington, wanted like a nice city to create that was away from everything. So they just went in and started building these mega mansions in this fucking area. So all the houses are 4,500 to 6,000 square feet and bigger. And it's just like a super white town of 40,000 people. Or I mean, I'm sure it's much bigger now, but like when I moved there, so my dad bought this house there that was modeled after the house from Gone with the Wind when I was in fifth grade. So I live in this fucking crazy mansion. And then in ninth grade, he bought a bigger house. It was like 12,000 square feet that had a movie theater in it and like a poker room. And he
Wait,
had
your
like,
dad bought two houses?
He sold the first one, bought a second one.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, you're like, whoa, your dad's got two houses? That's
at
sick.
One point, he had five, including a castle in Ireland. Like,
holy shit.
We had a family castle.
Wait,
so like,
does
my
your
family
dad
is from like
have
Irish
any
royalty.
Of these properties still?
No, he's poor now.
Oh, he's poor now.
Yeah.
Wait, so.
Democrat.
Yeah. Wait, did the IRS come after him or something? Or did he get in a scandal?
His job was he was a tax attorney that dealt with like a very niche section of the law, which was the intersection of state and federal tax as it applies to low-income housing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're building an apartment complex and you're building a luxury apartment complex,
okay,
so super fucking nice place,
mm-hmm.
You can make one of the buildings of like the 10 buildings there Section 8 housing and then pay no taxes on all of it.
Wow.
But it's not just like one building. It has to be distributed properly. You have to do all this stuff. Uh-huh. And there's these things called CHOTOs that are community housing development organizations that have to approve it. So my dad was in with all the CHOTOs and was like, which is so crazy to say, but my dad was in with all the CHOTOs.
That's such a weird name.
And my dad was in with all the developers. And uh-huh. So essentially anytime a luxury developer wanted to build an apartment complex in Texas, they would hit up my dad to get all their taxes done. And then he would make like 10% of closing. So if a $600 million apartment complex closes, my dad makes $60 million. So like that would, so like his effective rate, if he wasn't making closing deal, was $1,500 an hour, which is just bonkers to think about. And so like that was what my dad did. But then in 2008, when the stock market crashed, all of that was based in the real estate world and all of the fake bullshit that they've been doing.
So he lost all his money in 2008. So
he lost all of his way of making more money in 2008.
Okay.
But because from like 1999 to 2008, he had just been crazy crushing it. Uh-huh. We had houses and Bentleys and we summered in fucking Carmel.
Wow.
And we used summer as a verb. Like just like every Christmas and Thanksgiving. Like, so I would do one holiday with my mom's family. My parents are divorced. And then I would do one with dad and we would fly somewhere crazy and stay in the Waldorf Astoria in New York and eat at Tavern on the Green in Central Park and all that shit. So it was like a crazy, cool, super, you know, fun youth. But in 2008, when everything happened, all of the money started going. So then like stopped having as much access to stuff. And then 2009, I graduated high school, went to college. And so then, but from having all of that privilege of meeting all those people, one of the things you like, that was the biggest lesson that I learned in all of that is that like money just begets money. Like you meet these rich people and you meet these rich kids. And like, if I had been from old money, I would have been such a more conservative person because I would have had like a lifestyle I had to live into. And I met all these, I met this kid that's like an heir to a Coca-Cola fortune. That's like, you know, going to be worth, you know, $400 million the day he turns 18.
Wow, one of my best friends, a lot of money,
inherited $25 million when he turned 18. Like just crazy shit like that. And
God,
you're around all that. And you're
God,
like,
God, I want to kill these people so bad. But
like, you see stuff like that. And it's like, no matter what you do in life, you can't fuck that up.
Yeah.
Like you're good.
Yeah. Because those are companies that are going to be here forever. And yeah, those are like, that's like what Warren, like I see that stuff about like Warren Buffett. It's just like, like half of all of my wealth is in Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Because it's never, you're never going to get rid of it. You put it.
You put it in Coca-Cola and you put it in Apple.
Yeah.
And you just let it go.
Yeah. You just put it in that. And yeah, dude, that's just insane to me. How like, yeah, because also it's like people talk about that a lot too. It's like, oh, how are all these rich people rich? And it's like, oh, it's all old money. And they just, we keep feeding into like those companies.
Dude, if you just have $10 million in a bank account, the interest on it alone is enough to have a pretty cool life. And then the crazy part is when you're living with that much money, the amount of business expenses you have, like the really rich people I know are excited to buy rental cars and fucking all the little expenses that you would think would be like an annoyance on a trip.
Yeah.
They're stoked because it's a tax write-off.
Yeah.
Like they're excited to spend money because they save more money by spending money. Yeah. And like their points on their cards, the really good cards, to get the rich people to use them, they have the best benefits.
Yeah, and so I'm not good at that, but they have people that do that for them.
They have people that do that for them and all that. Dude, I had a guy that I worked for that used to be a VP of Goldman Sachs. So I sold him a software company, and then the software company bombed because of literally a guy's house got hit by rockets.
Wait, what? Where? Where?
So I had an idea for a software company. One of my good friends from high school was a coder, and then he helped me code.
This guy's life is wild, dude.
It's retarded.
But I've lived with you for how long?
Like 9 months, 10 months.
Yeah, I didn't know any of the stuff about you.
I was
23. 23.
So,
that's how old I am.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what I was doing when I was your age. When I was 23, my mom's business in like her weird sales world needed a customer relationship management software, CRM. And the best one out there was Salesforce. And it sucked very bad for what she needed and didn't do what she needed. And I wrote down like a huge description and I just started hitting people up on Facebook to see if I knew any coders. Uh-huh. Guy from high school I knew was like a proficient Ruby developer. So we created an MVP, minimum viable product, of this thing. And then I got into startup culture, huge. And I was like, I'm going to grow this into a fucking business. I'm going to have income for life. I'll have passive income off of a fucking SaaS, software as a service thing. I got all into that shit. And then my buddy, Christian, that developed it, was at the time, I think, married to this lady. And they decided they were going to get in a van and do van life and just travel across the country. And he didn't have the time to commit to finishing the project. So he felt bad. So he sold me his half of the company for $1. So I took that dollar and was like, okay, now I have a minimum viable product and I have a pretty good business pitch and I have a great like 5-year plan for this. See who I can get to invest. I met a guy through my dad who used to be a VP for Goldman Sachs that now runs a factoring company. So if you own like a cable franchise, you run all of DirecTV in North Texas. All of the people that are paying you on the subscription basis for that are paying on different days of the week. But all of the people you have to pay, all of your utilities, all of the contracting fees to DirecTV's like headquarters you have to pay, all of your servicers and suppliers, they're on like weekly salaries. So what a factoring company does is they collect all of your subscription payments and then they pay you out in advance for a fee so that you can pay all of your people. So he runs this money for money company and it's like mind blowing to learn. And I pitch him my company and I sell him half of it for this big chunk of money. And then I use most of that to go on Upstart, which was like a freelance coder site. And this guy, I hire him and we work together every day and we're building this great product and it's super fucking beautiful. And then he goes MIA on Skype for like a month and I'm freaking the fuck out. And then he comes back on Skype and his location has completely changed. And he sends me all these pictures. He lived in Pakistan and had to move to India because his building got hit by a missile and everybody in his family was killed and everything was destroyed. And he just had like enough to put in a knapsack and escape and like go and finally. And then like, as soon as he was able to get enough money together to get back on the internet, the first thing he did was message me to tell me all of this. And I'm just like, so when are you going to be done? You know,
when you can get back to work.
Yeah, buddy, like,
when,
living in a first world
country, to get back to a guy in Pakistan and be like, okay, I get it. Happens all the time. When can you get this done? I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to start calling you George now. Tired of saying Sabala.
That's so crazy. That was also a very long story just to get back to.
Sorry, my bad.
No, but that was like really informative. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a wild, cool story.
So I did that. So the software company crashed and I have nothing. So I worked. So the reason I said this, so I worked for that guy. And then afterwards he would just give me other tasks to do. One of the things we did, this is probably very illegal for me to tell.
Ooh.
But I think all the lawsuits are settled. Sure. So what he had me do is research.
Sure.
It used to be if you use your card in an ATM and there's a fee on it. Certain banks, like I was saying with cards, like certain nicer banks will have things where they'll refund you the ATM fee. And it's up to certain amounts at different places. But 15 years ago, it was wild, wild west. There would be like Fidelity, I remember, had 100% cash back on any out-of-network ATM fees. So my boss saw that. I'm not going to say his name. I keep remembering not to say his name. But so he tells me, hey, I want you to research every bank that has these kind of policies. So I put together the spreadsheet. There's like 25 banks. So he has his other assistant open up bank accounts at all 25 of these banks and put like $100,000 in them. Then he bought 60 ATMs. And then I found a storage place that was climate controlled. So it had unlimited electricity that wasn't factored into the bill. And we daisy chained all 60 of the ATMs into the storage unit, free electricity. He set the ATM fee at $1,000. So he gets the ATM fee of $1,000 and then he gets the $1,000 back from the bank. So then we paid a different guy on Upwork to write a macro for us that would run all 60 of these at once. And so he made $20, $30 million.
Holy shit. It just sounds like you, for the longest time, you just worked for a criminal.
Yeah.
Like a crazy good criminal.
I worked for Lex Luthor.
Yeah. You just like worked for a guy that was just that's like almost like so many movies of just being like, I created this thing, wasn't illegal at the time.
Yeah.
And then they made it illegal for some reason. I did nothing wrong.
To fuck.
Yeah,
sure, dude. Because
but also those companies have to be held liable for being fucking dumb to
retarded,
do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they had like all these unlimited, you know, refunds for all of the ATM fees. So he made all of this money because you get $1,000 on the fee and then you get the $1,000 refunded. So every time you run it, you make $2,000.
Wow.
So, I mean, it ran for, so, cause it kept running into, I think there was like, we had like an hour delay on each transaction so that it wasn't going to flag anything.
Yeah.
And we had like some A/B testing on which banks flagged it quicker. Cause if you're just withdrawing $100 at a time or $10 at a time. So we had to like auto correct. So we ran it for a while. So we have all these ATMs doing this and getting flagged and then going through and answering all the validation and security questions and confirming you're in this location. And then all of it worked. And then he got sued by a bunch of people. But for doing that and for all of the research and being connected to that, I made about $3,000.
Yeah, he is a criminal for sure. To rip you off for $3,000 when he made millions. He
could have at least just. I was 23 and I was so stoked to have that $3,000. Yeah. I was so fucking pumped because it was like 10 hours of work.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm the fucking best. I just made $3,000 in 10 hours. Suck my dick, everybody.
Fuck that guy. And my boss giving was you like, only $3,000. He could have at least helped you like put it in like an offshore account.
He probably tried to help me for a while and he did a lot of stuff. And I helped him run like six or seven different companies. And he got me into like the solopreneur world where I started then freelancing and I had like 10 customers that I just was a business. Imagine this though. Just imagine 24 to 25 year old Mike, a handful of tattoos, none of the crazy arm ones yet. Fat as shit, pierced ears, faux hawk, wearing Men's Warehouse, bundled shirt and tie combos, just giving you business consulting on how better to sell Western wear on your website or whatever all these things were. So that was, I was a business consultant and I charged $60 to $200 an hour, depending on, and I would log all my tracks on this thing, Time Panther. And I did that. And then I got into motivational speaking. And then that's what I did before. The last two things before I did comedy.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And I would never make fun of you for having that kind of an outfit because I'm going to look back on wearing these shoes and I'm going to make
fun of
myself.
No way. Those are cool as hell.
I mean, I love these shoes. My grandparents got me these shoes. They're very comfortable. They're very good.
Dude, comfort is number one.
Yeah. They're good on my feet, too, which is strange because I have flat feet. So
do you really?
So some shoes just suck ass.
So bad,
like,
right?
There's only some Adidas shoes I can wear, and mostly I wear Nike. But I've been just wearing Adidas shoes because I'm poor and I'm a Democrat. Oh. So,
same thing.
But I need to buy.
If you're a rich Democrat, you're a pedophile.
Yeah, or you're just a piece of shit.
Pedophile. All rich Democrats fuck kids.
Yeah, same thing.
Every single one of them. Find me a rich Democrat, I'll find you a kid's hole that has been stretched.
Like if I ever made like $1 billion, I'd
fuck a kid?
Dude, no.
That's a crazy thing to say, Chandler. Jesus Christ, man. This is a family-friendly podcast.
We got a billion. No, okay.
Well,
I know everything that Epstein went wrong. I think I can fix that.
I took a bunch of Six Sigma courses. I learned how to make lean office management.
I see what happened to Andrew Tate. I see what happened to Epstein, dude. Yeah. I think I can do it better.
I've been listening to Biggie's Crack Commandments for a week straight. No, Epstein fucked up. Never get high on your own supply. You can't fuck the kids at the island.
No,
it's also terrifying to have Baron Trump just staring at me.
Yeah, that's true.
He's just out. He's much better.
Wow, it all just looped back around. No, but yeah, you ever thought about that though? You ever like think if you had a bunch of money, what you'd do with it? Like,
all
ever
the time,
thought
every
like
day.
Like what was that Adam Sandler movie where he just like woke up one day and he was like he's an heir. He was like
Mr.
an
Deeds?
Heir to like where he was like an heir to like $40 billion, and it's like if I ever just rolled into like $40 billion or something, like I just think about all the people I just give money to.
Oh, dude.
I just think if I had that much money,
I think
that's
why $15,000 is gift tax.
Okay.
So, and gift tax is much higher than like salary tax.
Yeah.
So I would create a shell company and then I would try to create the most ridiculous job titles and then hire all of my friends to do those jobs, but the catch would be they'd have to do the job.
Yeah, like a hedge fund that doesn't make money.
Squirrel photographer. Okay. Chandler, I just won $40 billion for 500 grand a year. You're going to be a squirrel photographer, and you have to send me one squirrel photo a week. But here's the thing. You're going to be out. You're going to be living your life and having the most fun with all your new money. And then you're going to be like, fuck, I got to find a squirrel the next 20 minutes or I lose 500 grand.
You're much smarter than me. Yeah. Yeah, I would just hire a guy to take pictures of the squirrels.
Immediate loopholes.
And then I would hire another guy to send those to you, and then I'd forget about it forever until you call me and we hang out
and then
stuff.
I would fire you immediately. You're clearly not a squirrel photographer.
Oh, I wouldn't tell
you're
you.
You're a manager.
I'm a manager squirrel photographer. Give me a new title for my job.
You're right. I'm raising it to 700 grand.
Yes! I'm just like competing with my friends.
Dude, it would be so insane to just be at like a huge mansion house party and you're having the best time of your life and you walk outside to answer my call like all nervous and you come back inside and you go, guys, I just got a promotion. Like, aren't you a squirrel photographer? I'm like, squirrel photographer manager. Yeah. Now, actually. Yeah. Put some respect on it.
Yeah. I'm actually better than all of you.
Yeah. I would definitely hire one of my friends and pay him like just a crazy salary to come up with hilarious suicide ideas.
Whoa, just that's a dark turn from squirrels. What a turn.
Nobody has to make it funny.
Oh, he said, yeah, yeah. What about squirrel deaths? Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what if the squirrel kills itself?
Well, they do that all the time.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, not on purpose.
Well, I think it's on purpose.
Running across the road?
They do it all the time. It's like it feels like they want to die.
It does sometimes feel like they yearn for the void.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can see it in their eyes. You ever see, you know what, Michael? I think I need to get a picture of a squirrel at this point. Because it's like, you ever look at a squirrel's eyes and just think, God, this guy is yearning for the void. Yeah. You ever think that? You ever have a squirrel look at you and he's like, I just want to die.
For sure. Also, can you imagine how huge of a rush it must be to sprint across traffic and make it?
Oh, dude.
Like you feel the wind of the real cars flying over you. Imagine at our size.
What's that
if there
called,
are cars
the
that were 600 feet tall yeah. and they're zooming by and you're like.
Yeah, you're like, you're running fast, but really you're not.
Yeah.
You're moving
for
fast.
For you it's fast, for them not at all.
That's what's even scarier.
And you have to just try and guess how fast they're going to go and if they maybe use the gas.
Yeah, they maybe use the gas. Most of the time they're probably, because I don't know why, I just have a highway scenario in my head.
Oh, I'm thinking 30 mile an hour road.
Six lane highway. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I want a challenge.
You went straight to fentanyl, my boy. I was talking about taking like a little perk 30. And you're like, six lanes, all the way across, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, you were probably just thinking about a
too late neighborhood, like where we live.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about a six lane highway.
I was thinking about running our house to the pedophile across the street.
Yeah.
Have
yeah,
I told
way,
you about that?
Wait. The pedophile across the... Oh, yeah, we have a pedophile that lives across the street from
and
us.
And behind us.
And behind us. I remember you sent us, like, the thing, and then we looked at the map, and then I remember Liz, our roommate, was like, guys, I don't like this. And I was like, yeah, I don't like it either. But it's crazy that they live next to us.
And we live so close to a school.
And we live close... Like, we live right across the street from a middle school.
On Family Watchdog, the site where you can look up sex offenders... If you click more details on a computer, it won't do it on mobile, but on a computer, you can do more details and it'll show you like their offenses. So the guy that lives directly across the street from us and one over is in trouble for raping a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And the guy that lives directly behind us that we share our back fence with is in trouble for raping an 8-year-old. And I always wonder if they ever like talk to each other and think the other one's gross.
Like, dude, for sure.
Oh,
the guy.
13? That's so old.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, at least wait a little bit, you fucking pervert.
Wait until her mouth.
You eat your steak raw, too?
I'm not gonna
fucking lose it.
I was about to say something.
Dude, have fun. We're on a podcast.
Actually, this reminds me. I wrote this last night, this joke. I haven't done it. But dude, it was so funny. I was at work today, and I was like, and my coworker was there, and I was like, dude, I just want to tell this joke real fast. I think it's funny, but it's kind of fucked up. And she looked at me and she goes, you think it's the kind of joke that would change my opinion of you? And I go, maybe, probably. And I just didn't tell
it right
but
now.
But the joke is basically like I recently
women's
learned.
Women's rights. Oh.
Yeah. I recently learned of women's rights. No, but the joke is like.
Why do they have them?
What's the deal with women's rights?
Women keep taking rights. Try and take a left, you dumb bitch.
Actually, hold on. Back to the squirrel thing. It's a 6-lane highway and it's only women on the highway.
Yeah. Oh my God. My boy wants to die.
Okay, now back to the joke.
Back to the joke.
Yeah. So basically, the joke was like, I realized, like, I had been told this by like some bookers and then by some other people. And I realized recently that I'm a clean comic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any, like, sex jokes. I don't have anything, like, dicks and balls. I don't have anything. I'm
particularly just a very clean. God, if you said the N-word right now, it'd be hilarious.
I still want to do comedy. I still want to have a career.
If you were,
I talk about killing squirrels all day.
If you were pretending to have that conversation with a booker, and you just replied, hard R. Shut up.
Dude. It's so fucked.
It sucks because it's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
It's so mean, but God damn, it's good.
But I realized that I'm a clean comic reason. I realized that from like other people and stuff. And I started thinking about it because I was like, oh, I was actually bummed. I was like, oh, I'm a clean comic? I didn't think of myself as a clean comic. And then I started thinking about all the other clean comics that there are that are successful. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great, I guess. But then I started thinking about who the best clean comic was. And the best clean comic there ever was that was wildly successful was Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
And he raped about like 60 women.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, how am I going to rape 61 women to be the best clean comic that there ever was?
You got to get started now.
But that's basically the idea of the joke that
I thought. If you haven't raped 3 women before you get home tonight, you're never going to make it, Chandler.
I guess.
You know what sucks is there's going to be women that want to support you. Like, I want to help you reach your goals. No. You're like, well, then say no.
But I thought of that. I was laying in my bed last night, that joke, and I was like, God, what a fucked up joke.
Oh, well, that's one of the things that I... Something that I wrote down recently in my joke book to try to say on stage was, I'm glad I'm not gay, because if I was at 14, I would have had AIDS.
Wait, and how old were you at 14? Like, what year was it when you were 14?
2005.
They had a cure. You'd be fine.
No.
No,
I wouldn't have told my parents.
Dude, the bullying would be more than hands.
Dude, I was a young Republican.
Out. Yeah, you were a young Republican.
Mike Pence.
Yeah. <dude. laughs> Hey, you might have had a successful career as
no,
a politician if you had AIDS.
The AIDS would have got me.
You could have sympathized with the voters with that.
Guys, I have AIDS.
You could have had a straight man with AIDS. You could have brought Magic Johnson on as your running mate, you know?
Eaton Johnson 2032.
Eaton Johnson.
See? It's a
surrogate
message.
See? See, it works.
Oh my God.
Eaton Johnson.
Chandler, you're a genius.
I'm a genius.
You're no longer squirrel photographer manager. You are campaign advisor.
I am so happy to have this job opportunity. I don't make any money. This is great.
I'm going to say, through the headphones, I've heard mostly music, and then I hear yelling. And it
I think
doesn't
they're starting
make me think
John's show.
That there is actually a show happening. It makes me think that they're saying, it's not happening! Go home!
Oh, don't do that to John.
We sold no tickets! It's 12:22 on a Thursday.
Is that what time it is?
Yeah.
What time is
There's
it?
There's a big clock over there.
Oh, wait, I can't see it. Oh, there is. I see it.
You ever put 12, a clock 22. In your mouth?
Well, almost once, but.
Do you remember when we went to that strip club in Oklahoma City?
Oh, God, what was the name?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd know.
God, I can't remember. What was the name of that?
Were you still drinking then?
Yeah, I think I was.
Man, all I remember is the lady upstairs being so aggressive with
me. Oh, dude, I feel so bad because I made you spend your money. Because I wanted you to have a good time.
I wanted to have a good time too. And I was like, yeah, rub your boobs on me and stuff. Here's money. And then they didn't.
Yeah, I felt, because I remember you were drunk. And I felt so bad about this.
Me?
No, I remember. Oh my gosh. Because like a lady came up or whatever. And she was like, hey, you want to dance? And I kept nudging you to like, and I was just like, dude, go have that dance, dude. Go have fun. And then you're like, okay. Like, you really weren't into it at all,
she was
being
mid.
There. Well, you weren't like into that strip club at all.
Yeah.
But also it was like a fucking Tuesday or something crazy. Yeah. See, that's how much I was drinking. I was at strip clubs on a Tuesday. You know?
I was also there. And didn't stop drinking.
Yeah. And but I
so
remember,
chill.
but I nudged you because I like peer pressure. That's so crazy. I peer pressured you to get a lap dance from a stripper, and then you came back and you were like, I spent all this money and you didn't have fun, and that was the only stripper that you had fun with. And I felt bad because I was like, dude, I want to take you to Deja Vu, because like, I'm young, the girls are the same age as me there.
Yeah.
And they're awesome, and it's full nude. They have like VIP.
Oh,
thing,
it wasn't even full nude. The one
it
we
wasn't
went
even
to.
Full nude.
That's right. We didn't.
I
see
didn't
want
to go there, but it was because the guy that we were with, he liked to go there, so we went there.
Man.
And I'm mad because I wish we went, because I was a VIP at the other strip club, which I don't talk to people. I started talking to people and telling people that I used to go to strip clubs a lot.
Yeah,
and I had a VIP membership. And I could cut the lines on a Saturday and just walk in.
That's got to be crazy, because like a bunch of people in Oklahoma were probably like, is that Jared Leto?
Jared Leto?
Is that 30 Seconds of Mars guy? I saw him as the Joker. I can't believe he's here.
But also, I just like, now I look back and I'm like, oh, fuck. But also, it's like, that's fun. It was fun. But people make fun of me for like going to strip clubs and stuff, and
dumb.
I enjoyed them. They're fun.
They can be very fun. The only problem. Oh, we got a live feed. Is that Xavier Cardona?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Oh, notice how there's no laughter.
Well,
got his ass.
Is this the open mic or is this a show? I thought they were doing an open mic tonight.
There was supposed to be the show, John's show, Midnight Special at midnight, and it's a free show for the service industry. However, the service industry is all busy doing drinking and cocaine right now. So they're not here.
Oh.
And instead, we have, I believe he's Venezuelan. We have an immigrant who somehow made it through the border in the last couple of weeks on
Good
one of these
him.
Caravans that
good
Biden won't let us protect ourselves against. And then he stormed his way all the way from McAllen, Texas, right on the border up here to Austin. And then he threatened with a gun. He told me this. He threatened with a gun, Rebecca, and said, you let me on my stage, Esther. I'll fucking kill you. I'm an immigrant. And now I guess he's on stage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When you think about it, though, those guys that are coming in illegally are just having the best time.
Oh, for sure.
They're just having the best. I'm like, hell yeah, guys.
Dude. Some people are like, oh, let's go whitewater rafting. Have you ever immigrated from Cuba?
Dude.
That is a five-star
talking
adventure.
Talking about strip clubs, dude.
Strip clubs.
At a lot of strip clubs, or like some of the
Cubans,
ones that I
so
have
many
been
Cubans.
To. So many Cubans.
So many
dude,
Cubans.
Dude, I remember that strip club that we did go to. We didn't go to Deja Vu, which I'm sad about, but they have them at both places.
Yeah, Cubans are everywhere.
Yeah, you walk in and there's like a
they
group
are.
Of them. There's like a group of Hispanic women and they're so hot.
Oh, they're so hot.
So hot, and they have the accent.
Oh.
They have it all.
Hey, papi, you want two for one dances?
I let them jerk me off once and I spent too much money. And I mean, it was like, for the time, it was worth it. And my grandma watches these podcasts. I just want to say, Grandma, please don't watch this
one. None of
one.
This was true.
None
it's all made up
true.
For comedy.
I
Grandma.
Can't believe I said that. No, but like, you have like groups of them. And it was so crazy because I remember one time I was talking to a stripper at one of the comedy club, and she came, and I was talking to her after the show, and she was like, yeah, it's actually, I hate the Hispanics strippers at the club because they do all the extra stuff and try and jerk guys off and all these extra things. That she hates them because they're like taking over the strip clubs that as they come through. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so you hate
people are
them.
Making
it's
a lot
crazy.
Of noise. And I was confused because Xavier was on stage, but he was bringing up someone else.
Oh. I'm just trying to figure out who's
he's
on
just
stage.
Catching strays.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Who is that? Is it Rachel?
Oh, Rachel Wolfson. Okay.
Oh, I can hear it in my headphones a little. This is crazy. All right. Wait. Oh. All right. I have a Cuban strip club story and then we got to get out of here.
Okay.
So we're at like hour 12, hour 20.
Yeah.
So one of my old bosses, who will remain nameless, was in town and we're hanging out. And then he was like, hey, let's go to the strip club. And he has lots of money and we've done this before. So I'm like, oh, this is about to be a good night.
Uh-huh.
So we stop. He grabs like $400 or $500 in ones. Here, he grabs like $400, $500 from his bank. And then we go to Ecstasy Cabaret, which is way fucking north. And we get there and it's like 1:30 and they say we can pay $20 to get in or $50 for VIP. And it's BYOB. And then this guy behind the security guy goes, like, he winks at us, like, but you don't have to have brought anything. Like, oh, cool. So we can still buy liquor after hours. This will be great. So we get VIP. So we buy originally just normal tickets to get in and then buy some drinks from the guy. And they're like, all right, this is legit. And then a hot girl comes over and gives me a dance. My buddy, so he goes and gets all ones. I hand a 20 immediately that I had to this lady for lap dance because she was crazy hot. So she's dancing. We're drinking our drinks. And then she says, you got to come to the VIP. It'll be so much fun. And I'm like,
they do that every time.
I don't know if it's worth it. Like, I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. Are they really going to serve drinks after two? And she goes, I'll get us a bottle. So she, super hot, little, what I found to be Cuban girl, goes behind the bar, gets us a huge bottle of tequila, comes back. So then me and my boss go into the VIP. He pays for it. And we go back there. She has a friend join her. So now I'm sitting in a VIP booth. VIP booth by myself.
That sucks when they
have
a
bottle of tequila.
Friend, because then you pay more. You pay double.
I was paying nothing.
Okay, great. Great. I love this. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm sitting in the VIP booth and I'm like, I only have like $200 left. If they say anything more than 200, I have to go to the ATM. And they're doing stuff to me. And my buddy's over there getting stuff done to him. Uh-huh. And they're pouring liquor in my face. And then I just said, I only have $200. Whatever you guys want to do. And then they like kind of giggle and then they split the $200. And then I'm like, oh, and I remember I have like 70 or 80 bucks in my pocket still from like a show I got paid for. So I hand them that and I'm like, oh, I have this too. Like, all the cash now is yours.
Yeah.
And
they're like, and you specified this is all.
Yeah. And so I give them all the cash that
I have.
Are you
hard too? Oh, sorry. Did I answer? This is giving me flashbacks of my time.
So I'm sitting there in the chair and they're rubbing all over my body and they're just being hot little tiny Cuban girls. And they keep both doing a thing where they bite my dick through the jeans.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah,
that please stick it in your face. I'll go get more cash. Do you have Zelle? Do you have Cash App? What
do
you just say all that stuff.
Do that stuff. And then it's like when you come, you're like, fuck.
And they're saying all that stuff. And then one of the girls, I swear to God, I zelled them like $200 more dollars.
Oh, wow.
But so now they're going to give me a double blowjob. And I'm like, well, fucking worth it. $400. $200 of my own money for a double BJ. I'm God. This fucking rules. You know how much you'd have to spend on dates to get here? You know how long I'd have to go to the gym to get this naturally? Like, brother. So they're doing stuff and they keep talking to me and like they're taking turns playing with my wiener. And like one of them will talk to me, another will play with wiener, and it's so fucking cool and distracting. And they started telling me how they're from Cuba, and they're like, "Where are you from?" And they kept going, "We're from Cuba." And then, so hot, and
yeah,
then,
so hot. They say Cuba,
and then
say it again. Sorry,
Cuba. But there is a moment where each girl has a hand around my bare penis that's now out in the open. They have both sucked on it for maybe 10 seconds, teasy stuff. And they're doing like the baseball game where you grip the bat to one tits on the top.
Oh, yeah.
So I have two little, this is the only way this would work because they have tiny little hands, but I have two little tiny hands around my wiener. And it was just like the coolest moment. And
out
it
of
felt,
context. Yeah. Out of context. I have two tiny hands on my wiener and it was just so great.
And
your quinceanera next week's going to be wild. You know? But I have two little tiny Cuban women's hands on my penis. And I was excited and I wanted to celebrate. And my brain was drunk and excited and full of drugs and endorphins. And the only thing I could think of was Cuban celebration. And I yelled, Viva Fidel!
Bless that man for these women.
If it had been two German girls, I would have said Heil Hitler. Like it felt like the thing to do at the moment. It felt like a support of nationalism on the Cuban front. And I was like, the best country in the world is Cuba. How do I say that faster? Viva Fidel! And I remember the feeling of all of the blood shrinking out of the head of my cock as they both let go. Because everyone's like, oh. And they start yelling at me in Spanish immediately. And other girls in the VIP are now yelling, like, what the fuck did you say? My boss, who speaks a little bit of Spanish, goes, Mike, what the fuck? And I go, no. And he goes, they're about to fucking kill you, dude. They're talking about it. And I'm like, dude, we got to get out of here. And these girls are like hitting me in the face and slapping me and being angry. And the other girls from the booth are coming over. But one of the girls from the other booth is like a Cuban nationalist and is like, Fidel's the fucking best. You bitches are being fucking stupid. Stop shitting on Fidel's name. So now they're yelling at each other and they're in a girl fight. And my boss is like, dude, we got to go. And I'm like, I kind of want to watch. And then
here's some oil.
Yeah. Well, I already gave you the money. I didn't come. Let me jerk off. At least you fucking asshole. I spent $20 of my own money. That is a real significant portion of my net worth. All right. I know you threw away cash tonight, but I don't mean anything to you. You rich fuck.
See, this is what being a Democrat does to you.
So, what? I stayed watching for a minute, and then security came in, and then we both were banned for life from Ecstasy Cabaret, and had to go to fake management jail where they take your fake mugshot and put you on the wall. So it's just me and my boss, and he's like, "I swear to God, if my wife ever finds out about this," and I'm like, dude, her divorce attorney just subpoenas that. It's like Exhibit A.
I would have immediately gone
banned from Ecstasy Cabaret in Austin.
But I would have immediately gone to the nationalist girl who was on your side and be like,
Viva Fidel!
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, we were just escorted out.
gosh, dude, that sucks.
Well, if you ever relapse and want to go to a strip club, I'm your guy!
Dude, I actually went to one recently sober, which is crazy.
Awful.
But my friends were from out of town and they wanted to go see it and stuff or whatever. And I was like, sure,
Yellow
whatever.
Rose?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's where we went. And
yellow or red?
Yellow. Yeah.
Much better. The girls are much hotter.
At yellow?
Yeah.
I hear red is good, too.
Red's fine, but...
Yeah. I haven't been to red, so I don't
They're
know.
They're so aggressive.
So a friend of mine told me about, like, how, like, you need to spend more. Like, they're not just gonna, like...
Be
you
there.
Know. Yeah. Yeah.
They make money.
Yeah, they make money.
So they're
yeah.
not... They don't give a shit about you folding a one in half and throwing it at them.
Yeah, but I went to yellow and, like, the first girl, I mean, she was all right, and she was talking to me and stuff. It was like, oh, she just wants to get on. But that's one thing I like about strip clubs is that they're just like, money, I'll do the thing. It's like, all right. And
one thing you like about strip clubs is the whole thing about strip clubs.
Yeah.
One thing I like about strip clubs is money, do the thing.
But people hate that. And I'm just like... But come on, you know?
Money,
it's just
do
good.
The thing.
Yeah, do the thing. And it's like, I don't know, people hate on it. I'm like, whatever. I get it. I get why you hate it on it, and I get why people like it. But the first girl, all right, whatever. But then the second girl, she was like going to give me a dance or whatever. But then we talked for like 30 minutes about like our lives or whatever.
Great.
And I was like, oh, that's great. And then when she gave me, you know, a lap dance, I was just like,
now we're emotionally
connected.
Now
we're emotionally connected, you know?
Here's 40.
Yeah. Now you're telling me I can't get that at the Red Rose? Ah, oh, fuck. You know? But I do like that. Something. It is kind of cool to like hang out at a strip club. And then to like, I remember one time I was hanging out at a strip club and then this girl was just like, like we started talking about something and I was like, oh, that Playboy thing's kind of cool. And she goes, oh, you think the Playboy thing's cool? And I go, yeah. And then she goes, check these out. And then just showed me her tits with her pierced Playboy nipples. And I was like, dude, I didn't even have to spend money for that. That's fucking sick. You know, it's just being in a strip club. You get those interactions, you know, because yes. The girls are just so open to
at
it.
At a
but
strip
you're
club,
there.
You do see tits.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. I'm just simplifying it all so I can get people on the side to go to strip clubs and then stop judging me.
You know what's even better than going to a strip club? If you just come do my podcast, you can see tits.
Yeah, if you come to the podcast, you can see tits. Yeah.
Chandler, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Chandler_Rhone. My last name is R-H-O-N-E. And then you can just like type in my name, Chandler Rhone, R-H-O-N-E.
I'm sure I'll pop up.
You see my face.
Chandler R-H, he pops up immediately.
Yeah, I'm mostly just on Instagram. I only have like 2 clips on YouTube.
I don't really
have anything on YouTube, but I need to build something on that, I think. You know?
We'll keep doing it. Well, I love you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Yeah, this was fun.
Justin, the greatest of all time. Love you. This has been Highly Social. Go to a strip club and let us know what you think. Sound off in the comments. Adios.